Our scripture this morning comes from Paul's letter, his first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. Hear the word of the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith? Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God of our salvation, there is wisdom, peace, and joy for those who keep your word. By the power of your Holy Spirit, lead us in your truth and teach us to do your will for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Waiting is hard to do. I know it was hard for me to wait when I was a kid. Whenever we went on our annual family trip to the beach, I was always eager to get there fast. From the back seat of the car, I remember asking my mom again and again, "How many more Barneys do I need to wait until we get there?" For those who don't know, Barney was a popular kids TV show in the 90s about a purple dinosaur. But in my house, it was also a standard unit of time which could be converted to around 30 minutes. Now my son, who hasn't had the gift of Barney, has instead opted for the more traditional car ride question, "Daddy, are we there yet?" If you've ever been a kid stuck in the back seat, you know this question, and you probably know the answer, "Not yet." Today is the first Sunday of the new liturgical calendar. It's the first Sunday of Advent. It's the first day of what felt to me as a child to be the longest season of the year. Its culmination, of course, is Christmas. And what a joyful day that is. But are we there yet? Well, not yet. 4 long weeks stand between us and that day. 4 weeks of waiting, of preparation, of anticipation. Are we there yet? That's a question that the church has been asking from the very beginning. The church has been in a season of waiting for nearly 2,000 years. Watching, waiting, pleading. Are we there yet? The work that Jesus started in his first advent, his first coming as a baby in a manger, is work that is still ongoing. But there is still that second advent, that second coming. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus promised that he would come again, as he says, on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. In the season of Advent, we mark both our memory of the first coming and our hope for the second. We wait. We hope. But sometimes it seems we've been waiting for so long that maybe we've forgotten what it is that we've been waiting for. Advent, we know, comes before Christmas. It's a holy season when we look to the coming of our Lord. But how does Christ come? As a baby in a manger, yes. And praise God for that first coming. God came in human flesh to rescue us from sin and death. In Christ, God's salvation was made real in our midst. God taught us how to live. God poured out his love for us. But as profound and earth-shattering as that first coming was, we must not let our memory of it outshine the hope that God has given us for that second coming. If it does, then our waiting becomes nothing more than ceremony. It becomes a ritual that we mark every year for a few weeks, and then we put it to the side. Now, I'll admit that there's a certain kind of talk of the second coming of Jesus that makes Presbyterians, myself especially, a little bit nervous. There's a subculture of American Christianity especially that seems obsessed with prophecies and end times and signs of the age. But rest assured, the Left Behind series is not the gospel. That's not what Paul is talking about. But for those to whom Paul was writing in his first letter to the Thessalonians, the waiting was very real. This letter, written around 51 AD, is thought by many scholars to be the oldest document in the New Testament. Only about 20 years had passed since Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. Paul, at this early point in his ministry, was fully expecting, in his lifetime, to see, as he says, the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. When Paul and the Thessalonians asked the question, "Lord, are we there yet?" they really meant it. Are we there yet? Have we waited long enough? When is Christ going to return and finish the work that he started? Will we live to see the day when all the suffering and heartbreak and pain of this life will be fully and finally redeemed? Their act of waiting and hoping meant something, because Christ's promises to this suffering community meant something. This was a community living in perilous times. Acts 17 tells us that when Paul first came to Thessalonica, some in that community didn't want him there. After only 3 weeks, Paul and Silas were driven out of the city by an angry mob. The mob sought to kill them. They accused Paul and Silas of proclaiming their allegiance to this new King Jesus rather than Caesar. To proclaim Jesus as Lord rather than Caesar was an act of political rebellion. Then later on, in that same letter to the Thessalonians, we hear Paul talk about the persecution that they had suffered because of their allegiance to Christ. "Are we there yet?" asked the Thessalonians. It's a serious question. It's a question of deep, deep longing. And it sits at the heart of this community. Paul knows that deep longing. He understands the pain that the community has endured. So when he talks to the Thessalonians about their hope for Christ's coming, he speaks words of comfort. Paul, ever the pastor, answers that question, "Are we there yet?" with beautiful sensitivity. Rather than lament the fact that Jesus has not yet returned in glory, Paul instead celebrates the incompleteness that comes with living in between Christ's first and second coming. Now, it may not feel quite the same to us, but we too are living in between. The church is an institution of people living in two worlds. The same concerns of that early church are ours too. Will God's kingdom come? Will justice and mercy prevail? Will we know peace? Will heartache and sickness and death finally come to an end? And is there joy to be found even after so much sorrow? In a beautifully odd proclamation, Paul gives thanks for the joy that comes with a faith that is incomplete. He says, "For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. What is lacking? What is incomplete? Paul is saying to the Thessalonians and to us that we haven't arrived yet. Our faith is far from perfect. A faith in progress, though, is nothing to be ashamed of. It is, for him, a source of profound joy. An emerging faith is the only kind of faith that comes with being on a journey. We're not born fully formed. The faith that we inherit from God's community is a faith in progress. And Paul is saying that it's a good thing we're still learning. We're still growing. And thank God we're not alone. We are doing it together with the help of God's Spirit. God claims each one of us individually. But God does not call us to this journey of faith alone. He gives us one another. Bible commentator Beverly Gaventa says that faith is not something that belongs to the individual or even to the local congregation or church. This is not an arena in which the rejoinder, "What I believe is my own business," can be respected or recognized. Because of God's actions, the apostles and the Thessalonians are irretrievably connected to one another. And that connection causes them to give praise to God. Those who belong to God are all members of one great family. Like little children, we are born into the life of faith without understanding. But with time and the loving attention of the family of faith, we begin to reflect that great love that we have received. Think of a little baby whose gentle coos and tiny smiles are little signs that they get it. It's a small faith. But with God's love and the care of community, we begin to grasp a bigger truth. The truth that God is doing something here in this world. God is at work. And God loves us. It's a good question. Are we there yet? If instead the question was, am I there yet? Then the answer would always be no. It would be no because we can't do it alone. We can't live the life of faith without each other. But if instead of I, we ask, are we there yet? Well, in some ways, yes. Theologians talk about the kingdom of God as paradoxically being already and not yet. As a community gathered by God for worship and service, we catch a glimpse of something greater than our individual selves at work. When Jesus began his ministry, he proclaimed again and again that the kingdom of God had come. God's kingdom was in him. God did something in Jesus. God started something. On his cross, Jesus proclaimed, "It is accomplished." And we, as the community of faith, are living in the wake of that accomplishment. True. We haven't seen the Son of Man coming in the clouds and the glory of all of his saints with the sound of the trumpet. But we have seen a glimpse of him, haven't we? Paul tells the Thessalonians that he's praying most earnestly, night and day, that he might see them face to face. Face to face. Paul is not complete until he is with them again. And just as they long to see one another, so too they long to see Jesus. They long to see him face to face. In the midst of this longing, there is joy. Joy because Paul knows that when he does see his brothers and sisters again, he'll be seeing the face of Christ. And so it is with us, this family of faith, a faith which is still in progress. This is the place where Christ can be found. When we come together to worship and learn as Christ's body, there is Christ. When we serve the poor and care for the sick, there is Christ. When we comfort the grieving, there is Christ. When we share the cup and the bread, there is Christ. And when we love one another with the love that God has given us, there too is Christ. Where do we find Jesus? In the manger? Yes. On the cross? In the clouds of heaven? In the power and glory of his coming? Yes. But also in the face of the person sitting right beside you. Are we there yet? Yes.